Hello and welcome to Covenant Grove's daily audio devotionals. In this series, we will be reading in the book of Matthew, which is a part of the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels refers to the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which means that these Gospels contain many of the same stories, and that those stories are sometimes even presented in the same sequence within each of the three different books. The book of Matthew itself was written towards a more Jewish audience to convince them that Jesus was the Messiah promised to them in the Old Testament. It is believed that this book was written 80 to 90 AD. Now, AD stands for Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of the Lord, indicating a year after the estimated birth of Jesus Christ. So anything that happened after the birth of Christ, especially within a Christian viewpoint, gets an AD after the date. Nowadays, some more non-religious scholars do use the abbreviation CE, that stands for the phrase Common Era. But both CE and AD refer to the same years in the Gregorian calendar, which is the most widely used calendar today. So let us open our Bibles to the book of Matthew in the 18th chapter. Today's reading we will start with verse 1, and we'll be finishing on verse 14. I'll be using the New Living Translation, but you're welcome to follow along in the version of the Bible that you're most comfortable with. We are first going to start off with issue 1 through 10. Now here's verse 1. About that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him, and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into eternal fire with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father." Editor's note. In many modern updated translations have taken verse 11, which is not found in the manuscripts that are dated the closest to the original writings, and put it as a footnote. And here is verse 11. "And the Son of Man came to save those who are lost." And now we'll be continuing with verses 12 through 14. Now starting on verse 12. "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish once again." That was verses 1 through 14 in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, which was read from the New Living Translation. Let's discuss and explore the verses in Matthew we just read a little more in depth. People inside and outside the church have high expectations for the church, the people of God. This chapter is the fourth major teaching section in Matthew. It is called, quote, "the church chapter," end quote, because Jesus lays out his vision for his people. Based on this chapter, a church would not be measured by its music, preaching, programs, cool factor, or facilities. A church should be measured on making disciples who love and obey Jesus, which includes humility, which is referenced in verse 4, renouncing the power games of the world, reaching out to the next generation, possessing a deep love for people, and running after lost people. Is this how you evaluate a good church? The only thing the church should be against is sin. The business of the church is helping people turn to God and turn away from what is wrong. We must be those who can look at ourselves honestly and see what needs to be changed, and be transformed through God's love, grace, power, and forgiveness. God's people should also be marked by a deep love for people, especially children and outcasts. We fight sin not by running away from sinners but by running to them. We sacrifice to reach the lost and see them safe in God's love and in community. This is God's dream for His people. We are not perfect, but the church is part of God's plan, and He has not given up on us. Jesus made the church, and this is where we belong. As imperfect as we are, we point to the only one who is perfect. He fulfills all we need as humans. And now here are some thoughts to meditate on during your personal prayer time and for the rest of your day. Does your evaluation of church line up with this chapter? How can you help the church live out its God-given mission? As we end this devotional, we would like you to know that we're so grateful that you joined us. We hope this was a great encouragement to all our listeners out there, as much as it was a blessing for us to share it with all of you. If you would like to follow along with us for more enriching insights, discussions, and soul-searching introspections within our devotional series of the Sacred Biblical Writings, then hit the follow icon on our profile to get updates for new episodes that are posted every Monday through Friday. Be blessed in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.